Welcome back to The Language of Behavior. My name is Joshua Stamper, and I am here with my estranged co-author, Charlie Peck. Traveling so much right now. It's a good problem, but it's great to see you, my friend.
You too. I know, it's been too long now. I don't like those bouts of time that passes without us talking.
You know, we knew this was coming though. We've been talking about it for months, seeing our July into August being a crazy time of travel and keynotes. So it's a good problem, but it is so good to see you. And I know that right now, as we've been working with so many educators all over this country, we're starting to see a trend with self-capacity and this feeling of I'm in a good spot right now. However, our leaders are back on the district, they're back on the campuses, and they're starting to see just this rush of work that's coming at them quickly. And they're starting to realize that there's like this work life pendulum swing where they're completely embedded in the work. And so when folks are coming to you, Charlie, and asking you for assistance, what are some things that you're recommending to them?
Well, it's funny because I just had this at the conference I was at, and a lot of people are coming up to me like, I'm overwhelmed. There's a lot going on. So they ask me all the time, like, how do you balance being a therapist, keynote speaker, a mom, an author, a business owner, blah, 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 all the things that we do, right? And I'm like, you know what? You want the truth? Because I can't do all of it all the time. Sometimes my keynotes need more attention. Sometimes my kids need my attention. Sometimes my clients have needs that arise that need more attention than my kids do in that moment. I mean, it just depends. Sometimes I do. I just entered myself and I needed to take a step back and fulfill those needs before I could show up for anyone else. So it's not about that work-life balance. That's why you and I don't even say that word. It's a bunch of BS. You can't balance anything. That doesn't work. And so it's not about that. It's about that pendulum swing and understanding where the priority is right in front of you. And that's why, oh my gosh, Josh, when I do therapy work with people, it's truly a really big challenge to get people to stay in the present moment. Stay here, because we're either in the past thinking, oh my gosh, all the things I did wrong, or in the future worrying about all the things I've got to do or that might not go right. And so building capacity to even stay in the moment is the work that you and I get to try to do in a lot of different ways. So that's what I'm excited about. What about you?
Yeah, I just love this like idea, this visual of the pendulum, because I do think, like, to your point, like, balance does not exist. And there are certain times in the calendar that we all know, especially in education, when things get very chaotic. And right now is one of them. I know a lot of leaders right now are stressing because they have positions to fill in addition to starting the school year and all those things that are required, right? I mean, our leaders are looking at professional development. They're looking at, you know, ways to make sure that every student has a schedule. I mean, there's like 1,000 things that our leaders are doing right now that is really important to make sure that it's successful. And so they have to understand that right now the pendulum is swinging to work. And it stinks, if we're being honest, because we just came from a couple month, probably hopefully folks were on vacation. They got to spend time with their family, with their friends. They got to do some fun activities to kind of help their mental health. And then it's abruptly stopped. And then they're shifting quickly into a very chaotic and stressful, high-pressure environment. And so for what we're going to be talking about today is we just need to make sure that we have some clear-cut strategies that are put in place. So when that pendulum does swing, and it swings hard and it swings fast, that we're not knocked on our butt. We're not starting to have anxiety. We're not starting to stress out where we're losing sleep. We're not taking care of ourselves, you know, those types of things. So I'd love for us to kind of go back and forth about some things that people can put in place now before we have staff come back, before we have students come back, before we have those fires that abruptly happen, like as we're walking into the door, you know?
Yeah, because we can anticipate it. We know what's coming. Here's the thing that I want to resonate the most with the people we work with. I want you to love your life. I want you to love your work and love going home. And so the pressure that we're going to feel it everywhere we go. So pressure is not the problem. It's the lack of capacity. That's the problem. And so usually we try to solve a capacity problem by managing our time better, by trying to like shift things around or productivity hacks or whatever those things are. It's not that those things can't be helpful. They can. But they don't help your emotionality when you need it. They don't help you when you're exhausted. They don't help with that mental overload that we're trying to protect. And if we're constantly reacting to stress, we're going to have health problems. We're going to have problems during the school year or during the work that we're trying to do in our organizations. So it's not the reactivity that we need anymore. We need to push that aside. We need to be proactive and have those skills and build that capacity ahead of time. So that's what people can be doing now. That's what they can be doing before the chaos starts. Because the chaos will start, but you only decide to enter the chaos, right? You don't have to enter chaos. That's why understanding yourself so well is important. Knowing what those signals are that your body is giving you and people around you are giving you before the chaos starts. We don't need that system anymore. So here's what capacity is, kind of as a definition. It's your ability to think clearly. It's to regulate yourself. It's to connect with others more effectively. And then making those good decisions under pressure. So when I talk about capacity, or Josh and I talk about capacity, it's about those things. And we have some skills there, but I think the capacity is lacking under pressure. And they have to work when we're both at home and at work, because we want to live a great life. We want to enjoy the stuff we're doing. What are we doing otherwise? All right. So Josh, what do you have to say about that capacity piece? And we'll start giving some other tangible things here.
Yeah, I think what you talked about with reactivity is something that happens at home and at work. I think when we feel the pressure, when we feel the stress, when we feel the chaos, and we start to get dysregulated, then that's when we're not planning things out. That's when we don't establish boundaries. That's when we don't kick into our healthy habits, and we just react in the moment. And unfortunately, a lot of times when we do that, it's not with a clear mind. It's not with the end goal focused on. And so then sometimes, you know, we make poor choices in that, or we do things that are not beneficial for ourselves in service of others. And so I think, you know, some of the things that we're going to be talking about here with strategies, I think, are allowing the pendulum to swing to one side or the other, but also not losing ourselves in our work and not being able to sustain. Because that's the thing, no matter what your job is, I know we're kind of education focused just based on a lot of things that we do, but regardless of your profession, you're going to feel stress. You're going to feel that high pressure to various points in that calendar year. And so we just need to make sure that that's not going to collapse us as a worker and our productivity. But it's also not going to collapse us as a father or a mother. It's not going to collapse us as a husband or a wife. It's not going to collapse us as a friend. So I think we just have to think about the whole person and how we can put things in place to make sure that we're our best version, regardless if we're work life or personal life.
I agree. And let's think about capacity. It's not measured when life is easy. That's not what we're talking about.
Right?
Yeah. It's like when your child is melting down, that's when we measure capacity. Or your boss is pressuring you to do something else, right?
For sure.
Running late, whatever. And so that's how we need to think about it. And that's why, like, I work with a lot of people in healthcare now. They're struggling. People with PTSD. And they're going to go right back into pressure. They're going to go back into the demand of their own system. And it's like, how do you function better there? And not only that, is how do I not anticipate a chaotic feeling? Because if you think it's going to happen, you're going to enter it already in your mind. Your mind can't differentiate between what's actually real and what your mind is creating. And so it's going to believe that you're already in the chaos when you're not even close to it. So we have to be really cautious about that. So, okay, let's think about this like under pressure, all right? Instead of being rigid, instead of being reactive, let's think about what we can do. The most important thing you can do, and you've heard this a million times if you've ever worked with me in a workshop, and Josh, you've heard me say it a million times, we have to notice when that swing is happening of that pendulum. We have to notice it. Don't fight it. Don't go against it. Identify it. If you've ever heard name it to tame it, that's Dr. Daniel. He's a great neuroscientist. I don't know. It's lost. I always recommend him. But you name it to tame it, it'll come to me. And there's tons of evidence to show neurologically when you name the feeling, you validate it, and you notice that it actually can reduce pretty quickly. And then we can kind of protect yourself here in the like seconds, right? This is seconds. So it can be like taking a sip of water, noticing a picture or a word that you've put on the wall. It could be like taking a quick walk, laughing. Like there's so many things, doing a rapid reset. These things can switch the energy or reduce the tension in your nervous system if we look at it like that. So there's lots of things we can do. And I will say this too. I know there's a lot you're going to say here too, but one important thing we need to understand is you already know the pattern of your life. So identify the patterns that create that tension for you and make like precautions there. So like meal preps, go back to that. That's old school stuff, but then do that for yourself, right? Get your clothes out to work out the night before. So they're there right when you wake up. So you just have to put them on and get a little workout in, whatever it is, automate where you can. So there's so much there, but I'm going to turn it over to you because I'll keep
going. The habits piece. I mean, you're essentially staging your environment to make sure that the things that you want to happen. And that's a great thing to make sure that you embed in your day.
Well, you do a whole keynote on habits, by the way. Everyone needs to know you do a keynote on this. So people, if you want that, talk to Josh.
Okay, thank you for mentioning that. Yes. And that's one of the pieces that I put in there, because I think we have a goal typically, and then we don't have these habits established to make sure that those actually occur to make sure that we get to the goal, right? And so for instance, if that pendulum swinging over to work and my goal is that I don't want work to consume me, then what am I putting in place to make sure that that doesn't happen, right? So for instance, do you have a clear start and stop time on your workday? And there's probably a lot of educators. I know this to be true because I used to have to go around the building and kick people out of my building because they were there till 8, 9 p.m. every evening. And I'm like, that's not healthy. Like, this is not sustainable. You need to go home. And I had to do that for myself. So if you're more productive in the morning, then you can start your morning earlier to get all your work done to make sure that you're not staying too late at night. And I'm not saying that there won't be outliers, because as we know, there's emergencies and things that come up in the afternoons or in the mornings that we're not expecting. However, if we can be consistent to make sure that our clear stop and start times exist, then that hopefully will get us back to where we need to be, which is right, that life piece of taking care of ourselves. The other thing too is making sure that when that is a break, that I am exiting the building. A lot of times folks don't stop there. They still work at home. They still do other things in the car. I had a conversation about someone checking email in the line of Costco before. Like, how is that beneficial to anybody, right? So making sure that we have things established and that we're true to them. And again, obviously there's outliers, but for the most part, we're making sure that once we're in the building, all of our attention is there. But when we're leaving, now our attention is going to the life aspect of things.
Right. And build that regulation before you actually need it. Mm-hmm. No tension's going to rise. You know, stress is going to be there. So build it beforehand. So we expect ourselves to stay calm in conflict, but if we don't practice it, we're not going to have the tools or that capacity to use it when we need it. And so it's kind of like my 15-year-old in Kentucky, they can drive and he's got his temps. So he's got to get a certain amount of hours of driving. And so when we're driving, I know in his mind, he knows what to do. It's been a little while, but yesterday we were driving and I coached him through a couple of things. And I said, listen, I know, cause I could hear in his tone, like, I know, mom. And I said, but let me coach you. Let me guide you now, because the more you hear it and the more you can practice with me here, the more that when you're on your own and the stress really does come up of somebody cutting you off or something, you're not going to be reactive. You're going to be able to stay calm in that. And that's exactly what we're talking about. So it's like that physical strength, that muscle memory. It is so true. Emotional strength does develop through repetition too. Those rapid resets work, those habits Josh talks about. Practicing breathing. If breathing isn't your thing, just try a different way of doing it, because I can tell you it does help settle your nervous system very quickly. Having that self-awareness and just noticing your body's signals is super important. All right. Again, we could talk for hours about this, but I think that's a good amount just to kind of give people a start.
Yeah. And we'll continue this conversation. Obviously, we are writing a book right now about a lot of what we're talking about, because we are starting to see a trend, Charlie and I, for what would you say, the last 3 years, where this has been something that folks are interested in and seeing the value in.
Absolutely.
Because they're stressed out. They are talking about leaving the profession. They're seeing how it's affecting every aspect of their life in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And they're just seeking information. What on earth do I do to help myself? Because we have such wonderful folks that we meet all the time that want to do a beautiful job, but mm-hmm. they also know that the lack of habits that exist are not sustainable. So that's right. what we're doing with EQ Impact. And yeah, we'll probably talk about that a little bit in after our next segment, Behind the Banter. So I don't know if you're ready for that, but we can jump in.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we have, Charlie, a lot of folks tuning into the podcast. This has been a wonderful month of people tuning in from all over the world, from the United States all the way to Japan. I mean, we are expanding, which I love. And so if you're brand new to the show, I just want to let you know that Behind the Banter is about just a personal question that Charlie and I answer. Charlie typically has no idea what the question is, so I usually surprise her and we just have a little bit of fun at the end of the episode. So this question is, what's one skill that you learned the hard way?
Oh, that's a good one, because I mentioned this in my keynote, to know that other people always have a different story than what assumption I've already made about them. So catching myself in the assumption and then making a new assumption that I don't know the whole story. That is a skill, my friend. It is in actually the book I wrote with Cam, because it has to happen. This is one of the biggest lessons I've ever learned, and I share it in every keynote. What about you? What about you? I know you've got one, a good one.
Well, classroom management, it came to mind first. It was just, you know, when you are going through your master's program or you're going through your teaching licensure, there's a lot of things that they talk about, but it typically is a pretty perfect world in which they're providing to you. And so, you know, as a new teacher, you're having to go through those experiences. You have to try and figure out what's going on, and it's trial by fire. And I made a lot of mistakes early on, specifically in like those first 3 years I can think of, where, you know, I yelled at a kid or I blew up or I just kicked a kid out of class or fill in the blank, right? Of all the things that I did, instead of really trying to, what we talk about in our book is find the underlying issue, what's the need that's not being met, and then being creative in that, right? And so a lot of times I just wanted them to be compliant, do what I say because I said it, and move forward. I had a lot of learning to do.
Yeah, so have I. I mean, we all have. So the fact that you will say that out loud is pretty awesome, because we've made a million mistakes. The good news is we get to share what we've learned, and most of the things that we talk about probably will never change. I mean, there's some basic human things going on there, and that's what we're trying to do. So I love that you said that.
All right. So do you want to talk about the keynotes that we're doing, or do you want to talk about the book? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I guess the keynotes are just natural. I mean, there's so many that we get to do, and we get to be in front of people. And I want to tell people about keynotes that Josh and I do. We don't like to be very typical. We like to not pressure people to do the typical things they don't like to do in these settings. And we like to keep it light, but there's a powerful message and there's engagement in ways that you don't feel like it's like another PD kind of session. So I want people to know that we are very attuned to that. I don't know about you, Josh. I'm saying this because I've heard a lot about this in my posts that I do on social media. People say, oh no, not another PD. And that one post that I put was like, it's actually, we're giving you an opportunity to participate the way you want to. So the keynotes that we do that lead to training, just we want you guys to know that we're always thinking of you, and we're always thinking of the best way to not only give you the message that's going to help propel you into this really great work that we're doing, but to give you tangible tools and strategies that you can use right when you leave. And it will work not only in your work life, but in your home life too.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've sat in PDs as staff members. Like, we know
rolling
a good PD. Yeah. We know what a good one is, and we know one that we're like, can I just go in my classroom and get work done? This is not beneficial to me. And so we don't ever want anyone to feel that way. And so, yeah, the best compliment that we can get is someone says, I feel like I have actual items. I have things that I can bring into fill in the blank, right? If you're whatever your profession is and we're working with you. And I just saw a post of yours. I love, you know, I think you were doing the finger thumb.
Yeah, the rapid reset.
Rapid reset, and you're kicking things off. People are standing, smiling, having a good time. And I think that's what we're about. It's, yes, we're trying to build a relationship with you. We're trying to give you information, but we also want to be a positive experience that you leave with. And so, yeah, thrivingeducator.org for Charlie. I know she's got a ton of information on there in regards to her keynotes and the things that she speaks on. You can head over to joshstamper.com/speaking. Specifically, if you're looking for keynotes in that realm. Do you want to talk about the book as far as what folks can find with the EQ Impact? I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but if you wouldn't mind giving a teaser.
Yeah, the teaser would be, we always say the capacity is about when you're under pressure, what to do. So that's what we're going to give you. We're going to give you a formula. We're going to give you the tangible tools and strategies about not only what to do in life generally, it's very targeted to when you are under pressure. How do you manage life in a way that you're going to love it, that you're going to love your life? And even when things are tough, because they will be, and you don't love it, how do you pull through? Because you can. The thing is, people don't feel like they can, or they get stuck. So we're going to get you out of stuck.
Definitely feel stuck. That is a wonderful way to describe that. That's definitely how folks are feeling right now. So I can't wait to get this resource out. And we are in the midst of writing this book. So excited to write with you more, Charlie. Will you share a last strategy or last point for our conversation today?
Yes. So one thing I don't think people realize is that your capacity becomes someone else's experience too. So think about not only building capacity under pressure for yourself, but how we're now influencing other people with a lack of capacity or our reactivity.
All right. Great way to close down this conversation. And if you need anything from us, of course, our links are in the show notes. And we also have our book study, our free book study kit that you can download. There's a link in there. Or I know a lot of folks are getting the language of behavior right now for their book studies, for their campus, for their staff. And that's always fun. So definitely look at those book order links, because that's going to actually give you a discount if you're going to get an order out there for your staff. So with that, we'll see you again next week. And we hope that the start of the school year is kicking off in a wonderful way. Yes.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.